At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Check it out now. No doubt now.
Monday morning, November 11th, 2018. The Beating the Book podcast, Guessing Lines, week 11. Skill Alexander. As always, the show brought to you by thescorex.com. It's that secret stock market thing I've been talking about for years. It is finally here. It is available to the masses as you download for iOS or Android at thescorex, thescorex.com. 100% free to start a league with you and your friends. Big $5,000 prize for being the top trader for the year. But it is week 11, so let me just say this. Maybe just try to win the beating the book phase of this. You can do that by entering with the promo code GIL, that's GIL with two L's, on sign up. And if you're the top beating the book score X or at the end of the regular season, you'll be not only filled with pride and joy, but also our guest on the Wild Card Megapod show at the end of the regular season. It's a regular season contest for those who put in the promo code GILL. Try to be the best beating the book score Xer for the year, and you'll be on with me, Marco, and Ace. Again, that's thescorex.com to find all the download links.
Stats and Information Network.
He's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Analytics, statistics, and more are used to win wagers, and Gil has every number you need to cash your tickets. Now, live from the VSiN studios in the South Point Hotel and Casino, it's Gil Alexander.
It is Gil Alexander. It is a numbers game right here at VSiN, the Vegas Stats and Information Network, Sirius XM Channel 204, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, and of course, Fubo TV as well. The return, ladies and gentlemen, this week of Jorge Andres Mondaca. What's happening? What's happening, man?
Did you miss me?
I did. Jorge, did you miss me? Don't answer that.
You don't want me to answer.
Don't answer that.
I missed everybody. Come on.
Matt Jones was in for you. He did a very wonderful job. Matt Jones.
He was very he's aight. No, thank you very much to Matt and
nice,
to everybody
Jorge.
Last week. It
nice.
Was fantastic. The shows were great. I did tune in and watch quite a bit of them. So
why,
nice job, everybody.
Thank you very much. You had a good week. Where were you? You were doing weekend shows. You were doing other shows.
I did. I was part of the weekend shows, and I gotta say, the boys in Atlantic City do a fantastic job Saturday and Sunday. If you don't watch before the NFL and college football kickoffs, tune in to VSiN. Saturday they start at 10 a.m. Sunday they start at 10 a.m. They go up until kickoff. Tune in, watch those guys, Jonathan Von Tobel, the whole crew in Atlantic City do a fantastic, fantastic job. Michael Lombardi obviously does a great job out there, so mm-hmm. They do a fantastic job. Everybody should tune in.
Michael, who'll be with us on a numbers game tomorrow, and I think is on Follow the Money this morning. They were on this morning as well?
Yes, he was on this morning.
Okay. And we'll rerun Follow the Money after this show. This show, of course, is Guessing Lines today. We'll guess lines for week number 11 in the National Football League. Wow, we've gotten here. And I remember week 11, that's the Monday night game from Mexico City between the Chiefs and the Rams. We have finally arrived. That much I do know. I'm in a cocoon. For those who have not tuned into this show before, this is a tribute to the old Stardust radio show back in the day where they used to announce the lines. I do not know the lines for next week's games. I attempt to guess them, and sometimes I fall flat on my face. Sometimes I'm pretty accurate. Within that exercise, we talk about this past weekend's games, and we try to isolate value for next week's based on my guess, what the line actually is. Vinny Maliulo in for Chrissy on the show today to talk about that.
And a lot of times throughout the week, you don't change your mind, but you definitely have second thoughts, third thoughts, and usually your first thoughts are the best thoughts, aren't they?
Generally speaking, the line where I have been wrong this year, the lines have come to my number. That doesn't mean I'm a genius. That's just how it's gone this year. Last week, for instance, just to poke fun at me, the ones that I was off on still ended up going, like, in other words, the teams that I thought were being undervalued, those teams ended up getting it done anyway, in a couple examples. So even though the lines went my way, it didn't really matter. But we'll get into all those games coming up. Just because I mentioned the Chiefs-Rams game, that is the Monday night game, correct? And that is from Estadio Azteca in Mexico City. Let's start right there. Because there are questions about the field. Do we have these photos up of the field here at in Mexico City? In the elevation, not the altitude, in the elevation for this game between the Chiefs and the Rams. Let's just put it this way. The National Football League has such concerns with the field at this point that they're sending people down there to observe it firsthand. There's a tweet from Pro Football Talk. NFL officials concerned at the grass for Rams Chiefs in Mexico City, sending officials in today. This has to do with weather. It has to do with concerts. There's the picture there at VSiN.com, the VSiN app, and Fubo TV. Weather, concerts, and just the lack of maintenance. And so you've got two high turbo offenses who are going to play on this field and concerned enough that they're going down there. Now, here's my thing, though. So let's say they go down there, Jorge, and they're like, oh, this field is terrible. We're in big trouble. What are they going to do? They're going to move this? They're not going to move it, are they? I mean, what are you going to do at this point? So anyway, field alert, based on what the number in this game will end up being, or is already, because we're posting them up at the South Point right now, and of course they are everywhere. We'll find out again. We'll talk about this as that game, as we approach this game on the show today. Tonight, of course, oh yes, go ahead, Jorge, please.
Associate producer back here, David, has a fantastic little nugget of information. Both teams are requesting maybe Denver as a possibility, since that game also would have similar
elevation.
Oh, interesting. Altitude.
So both teams, thank you, David. So both teams have already made their request.
They were denied
officially, but they made a request for an alternate venue already. Yeah, they're going to get denied. Because the NFL is hell-bent on spreading this thing globally. So the notion, like, you know, American sports fans are like, why are we doing this London game? Why are we doing this? Oh, no. They still think they're going to have a franchise in London. If you think they're making that up, they really... Roger Goodell is hell-bent on having a franchise in London. Don't ask me how the travel's going to go, but they are. Here is a overhead shot of it. This is from Alfonso Borrell. Now, we've cut out some language here. But
there were some naughty words in there.
But let's say in Spanish he said something like, what is this poo-poo? Would be the exact translation,
I think. Good translation, though.
Thank you very much. You're welcome. And then he goes on and rails about it. But that's the overhead. So that looks like a field with dirt all over half the field. There is no sod. There is no turf over half that field, basically. Wow.
Now, if you remember a couple weeks ago, the same thing happened at Wembley after the NFL team played there. The NFL game was there. Mm-hmm. And then the following day, Manchester City and Tottenham played there. So it's just when there are games, repeated games on a field, this is going to happen.
Well, concerts and weather and all of the above,
absolutely,
right? These are multi-purpose stadiums. But this is the marquee regular season NFL game that everybody's been pointing to for, you know, since the preseason, really. So since the first couple games of the season when you could determine that the Chiefs and the Rams were going to be offensive juggernauts. Apologies to the Saints, who may have a better offense than both of them. Who knows? But anyway, that's the story with that stadium. That's the Monday night game. We'll get to that. One more game left in week number 10. That's tonight, of course. And that's the, what's the opposite of Chiefs versus Rams? Giants versus Niners? I think that qualifies. Niners 3.5-point favorites tonight. I'm a little surprised that this has stayed at 3.5. There's not enough Giants money to have moved this yet. Interesting. Feels like a Giants tease to me. But Nick Mullins, going to get the start for the Niners. And yes, Eli Manning still getting starts for the New York Football Giants, who whose running back Saquon Barkley says, we're going to win 8 in a row now. That's what he said. Giants 1-7, Niners 2-7.
How do you tease that game then?
I think you tease the Giants to 9.5. That would be the way.
So you do a 6-point teaser?
Or a 7-point teaser. Yeah, either one. 7-point obviously gets you through the 10, so maybe that's the better way to go. But again, shop for your prices. Not every book is dishing the same prices on those. But yes, 7 will get you through the 10. That's probably more beneficial. But I just think it's one of these games that pre-flop-wise, I'm not betting at ATS is my point. And the way to bet this is exactly the way that I bet the Oakland-San Francisco game a couple Thursday nights ago, which is watch a drive or two and then jump in. You'll get a much better read for what these teams are about after a drive or two. You're pre-flopping ATS on this. I don't know. A lot of people have conviction on the Giants tonight. A lot of people are all about the Giants. And to me, it's like, all right, I get it, but the fervor, again, as we said about the Patriots and the Bears a couple weeks ago, the fervor on the Bears. Like, why the fervor on the Giants? Good Lord. Anyway, let's bring him in. He's in for Chrissy Andrews, the South Point Hotel Casino Sportsbook Director, who was unable to join us this morning. Chrissy, though, just getting off text and phone with us. Vinny?
That's right.
Vinny Maliulo, everybody. Slow jamming the Guessing Line show with Vinny this morning.
Good morning, Gil. And yes, Chris was just on the line with Supervisor Lou Vargin. And the numbers are in. I have hermetically sealed for you.
You put hermetically sealed.
Mr. Alexander, yes. Chrissy, and Chris, of course, sends his very best. And we wish him the best out there, my buddy.
We do.
Yeah. Spoke with him yesterday afternoon during the afternoon games. And, of course, the classic Guns of Navarone.
The Guns of Navarone, meaning the late game last night? Is that what you're referring to?
No,
the actual movie Guns
of
Navarone?
The actual movie was on during the games.
If you ever want to watch an old movie, just see if you can get back behind the desk here at the South Point Hotel Casino. Jimmy Vaccaro, at any moment in the day, mm-hmm. is watching something from, what would you say, the latest, the 1950s?
Oh, 60s.
60s, maybe.
Yesterday was, so
never 70s.
40s,
though.
50s,
yeah.
and 60s.
And then it's ask,
always on.
He'll ask anybody who walks in there. It doesn't matter how old you are. He'll be like, right. Hey, is that some name you've never heard of? I'll be
sure.
Like, Jimmy, I don't know.
We always have Turner Classic on back there.
Jimmy, I've never heard
either
of that.
Either Turner Classic, let's see, certainly Andy Griffith. By the way, Chris Andrews.
certainly Andy.
If you ever want to make money,
yeah,
on the side, a little side action on Andy Griffith, Chrissy Andrews.
Just invest in Chrissy bets just, on Andy Griffith?
Nobody knows more about Andy Griffith.
Really?
Trivia. That I can tell you.
My buddy has that for the Brady Bunch. He'll kill you on Brady Bunch, though.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
So.
Side bets behind the scenes. So you made it all back, Vinny, didn't you?
Yeah. Well, a little
everything
bit.
And more.
Well, listen, it's it's certainly a route, it's not a sprint, as we say at the track. You know, we had the Las Vegas Marathon in town last night, as you know, right? They ran right by your residence.
They did. I couldn't get in.
You couldn't get in or out.
Yeah.
So, it was so pretty well chronicled last week. Bettors had a good Sunday. Bettors actually had a really good Saturday this week. So for college football overall, and then yesterday morning the books rebound a little bit.
it all came back.
Yeah,
I was saying with Mission Pollard, we know nothing. And the point I was making, college football, it's funny. You bet favorites in college football. They have a way of coming through over an interminable college football game.
Mm-hmm.
So those games never end. Texas A&M got there. Ohio State got there.
Yep.
They all figure out a way to get there. NFL, man, it'll let you know real quick. If you get cocky in the NFL, it'll let you know in one afternoon,
mm-hmm.
one half of an afternoon. You know nothing about any of these teams.
Well, that's why it's an interesting point, a good point you bring up, Gil. When you talk to professionals, and I know you have Bill Krakenberger on Thursdays.
Mm-hmm.
Bill would be probably, I think he would agree with this and support this point. Pros will certainly go heavier into college football than pro football. Pro football, much more unpredictable. On any given Sunday, even from week to week, not just any given Sunday within a month, you're going to get a surprise, not only cover but win, outright win. So, the pros are they find their spots more so in college than in pros.
I wonder, you know, you could ask the question this morning, what was the most surprising of the outcomes yesterday? Was it Tennessee beating New England? Again, I said this moments ago, if, you know, maybe you thought Tennessee could cover against the Patriots. Maybe you even thought they could sneak out a win. Did you think they could crush the Patriots?
34-10, by the way, and Tom Brady not finishing the game. Let's remember, I don't know if a lot of folks realize this. Tom Brady, well, he got sacked and he got hit several
times.
And so
Belichick said enough of that.
He was out during the, I think, the middle of the fourth quarter.
That's right.
So
Brian Hoyer.
It was a dominant performance. Bills, maybe a little bit of a surprise the way they absolutely dominated the Jets also because...
Same thing. But maybe you thought they could cover. Maybe you thought they could win. Did you think they'd crush them 41-10?
41-10. I think part of that, I think the Bills were tired of hearing, frankly, about being compared to a college team. That's ridiculous.
Remember how we preface that every time? We're like, I know this is stupid, but people love this stuff.
The Buccaneers game, I think, was a surprise to some people, the way the low-scoring aspect of that game.
Have you seen the box score? Yeah. It was just historically unbelievable. We'll get into all that. Yeah. And then last night, I would even say last night, like the fact that Philly
and
had to furiously come from behind a couple times against the Cowboys. And I will say this about the Cowboys, and we'll get to that as well. But just a preview here. The Amari Cooper, it may not show up in the box score yet, but if you're watching all 22 today on this game, Amari Cooper matters to that offense.
Yeah.
He matters. It makes things so much easier for that Cowboys offense. It's really true. Van Der Esch was great on defense, too, for the Cowboys. We'll get into all that. Can we do a Thursday night game before
the break?
Let's
do it.
Let's start it.
Let's do it, Gil. It's the Packers in Seattle to play the Seahawks. So let's look at before we get in, you give the number here.
Please.
And, again, the numbers, these are going to be the numbers that the South Point opens this morning, okay? But Packers... 2 weeks ago, or 3 games ago, on the West Coast. 2 weeks ago on the East Coast. So they had the Rams, they had the Patriots go home. They had played at home yesterday. Now they go back up to the Northwest. So frequent flyer miles being tabulated by the Green Bay Packers. Packers in Seattle.
Though they're somewhat central, right? So it's you know, centrally located.
Still, it's travel, right?
I mean, it's travel. Packers got through the gauntlet, as you say, of the Rams and the Patriots, and then beat the Dolphins yesterday and covered in the process. Afternoon games were Earth returning to its axis for the casual bettor. Packers did beat the Dolphins 31-12, covered as 13-point favorites in that game. Aaron Jones, 15 carries for 145 yards, 2 touchdowns. Devontae Adams, 4 catches, 57 yards, 2 touchdowns. That's a career high for Aaron Jones, by the way, the 145 and the 2 scores. He had 96 yards on 4 carries in the first quarter, Aaron Jones, yesterday. And then Seattle. Seattle is in there, and I said this a couple weeks ago, when Seattle was 4-3 and everybody was slurping Seattle, I said, okay, that's great. And Seattle's really good, and Russell Wilson is still phenomenal. But their next 4 games are horrific, and now they're halfway through them only. They're 4-5. They lose to the Rams yesterday. Man, are they in every game, though, the Seahawks. Rams beat them 36-31. Seahawks get the number. They cover the 9.5-point close. Russell Wilson, again, 17 of 26 for 176. You're like, oh, that's nothing. But 3 touchdowns, no picks. He rushed for 92 yards and nearly rallied the Hawks all the way back after his fumble put the... Rams or set the Rams up for a 2-score lead, got the Seahawks all the way to the LA 35 before throwing 4 straight incompletions in the final minute of that game. And the Seahawks discovered Rashad Penny for the first time yesterday. 12 carries, 108, and a touchdown. Seahawks have lost 2 straight. Again, no shame in that, but 2 straight to the Chargers and the Rams after winning 4 of 5. They had 273 yards rushing yesterday after racking up 190 on the ground in their 2-point loss to the Rams last month. So getting it done on the ground every which way. All that said, it's Green Bay at Seattle.
Green Bay at Seattle.
Thursday. And it's a short week.
Yes, for both.
So can Aaron Rodgers single-handedly overcome? And you know what? I shouldn't say that because I'm selling the Packers short. Packers, again, got through their gauntlet of 2 games. But the Seahawks in the middle of their 4. This is a huge. I mean, to say this is a huge game for both teams is an understatement.
Sure.
Green Bay's 4-4-1, Seattle's 4-5. The proverbial must win.
Mm-hmm. How about all these games now going the remainder of the season? You're going to see a lot of important games. This is certainly one of them.
Seattle will be favored. Just as the Aaron Rodgers nod, it won't be 3. It'll be 2.5.
2.5. Seahawks. There you go. Good start, Gil.
Good start. Although that's not what we're really, really looking for, right? The worst thing that could happen is me going 16-0 on these. If no team was on a bye, that is, of course.
Boy, wouldn't that be awful? 16-0.
Well, but I'm saying then I'd be like, oh, great. What am I betting? You know?
True.
Trying to bet, man. Trying to make some money.
All right.
Vinny's in for Chrissy this morning. Hermetically sealed envelopes as we post them here on the South Point wall. We will do the Week 11 slate, the full Sunday slate. Every game to get to, we'll talk about everything from yesterday, see if we can't isolate some value. That's what we're doing on a numbers game right here at VSiN.
Broadcasting live from our VSiN studios in Las Vegas.
Jorge, let's show these odds, shall we? Conference by conference odds that you just posted up here, if we could do that. That would be a wonderful thing. Jorge, by the way, sporting a scarf this morning, light blue and white. This is a tribute to the North Carolina Tar Heels or Argentina. I'm not sure.
It looks like Anson Dorrance.
Who is Anson Dorrance?
Anson Dorrance is the head women's basketball coach. Head women's soccer coach at UNC.
Oh, that's right. Anson Dorrance. That's right.
Legendary.
That's right.
Soccer.
I do remember
him. He had a pretty good team back in the 90s, which included a couple of ladies named Ham and Fowdy.
Yeah, Ham and Fowdy.
They were pretty good.
Here are the AFC playoff picture after Week 10. I should have remembered Anson Dorrance's name, by the way. AFC playoff picture after Week 10. These are with current odds to win conference from our friends over at the Westgate. Chiefs and Steelers are now the two front runners in the AFC. Chiefs at plus 160 to win the AFC. Steelers at plus 250. Patriots next at plus 350. It's actually Chargers next at 5-1. Texans 11-1. Titans 25-1, Colts 35-1, Ravens 45-1. Everybody else you see sort of high, but it's Chiefs, Steelers, Patriots in that order, followed by the Chargers. Those are the only ones in single digits in the AFC. The Texans is such a funny one at 11-1 because, you know, again, I always say the very first prediction ever made here at VSiN was after the Patriots Falcons Super Bowl, and Brett asked me, who's your value pick for the next year with the Super Bowl? And I said, I nailed it. I said, Eagles at 30-1.
Yes, you did.
And then last year we did it, and I said, Texans at 20.
You did like
Texans at 20-1. Right. How I am so close to that looking so bad, right? In other words, the Texans at 6-3, and we'll get into the Texans coming up. But that is the biggest mirage record going. And so the fact that they're 11-1 to win the conference, they're still right around 20-1 to win the Super Bowl,
yeah.
I guess.
I'm going to get the we'll get the numbers from behind the counter here.
Yes, let's do that. NFC real quick before we move on here. Rams and Saints both at plus 140. Everybody else, double digits, including the Vikings at 10-1. We don't think of the Vikings that way anymore, do we? Upper tier. That was quick. Rams and Saints plus 140.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's go to Sunday, Vinny.
First game.
Yes, sir.
On Sunday morning, the Carolina Panthers, who took it on the chin and every other part of their body Thursday night in Pittsburgh, go to Detroit to play the Lions. Panthers, Lions, in Detroit, Gil.
In Detroit.
To get Sunday started.
Lions, last week, Matthew Stafford sacked 10 times by the Vikings. Yesterday, Matthew Stafford sacked 6 times by the Bears. So that's not good. Let's point that out.
Khalil Mack, a little bit of a difference, you think?
You think?
Just his presence alone, if not his ability.
Detroit is now 3-6. Mm-hmm. Again, let's just keep in mind the Buffalo Bills are 3-7. Do we think of those two teams similarly? Just as a point of comparison. Detroit is 3-6. They're at home. They'll have a Thanksgiving game right after this, several days later. Carolina is 6-3. Carolina on extra rest now after getting crushed by Pittsburgh. Let me just say one thing about that Pittsburgh game. Pittsburgh beat them 52-21, beat the Panthers on Thursday
Panthers
night.
Went down and scored, I believe, on their first possession. So
they
it was
did.
7-0.
It was 7-0.
Panthers, and that was
and then a 52-14 leading. Shellacking the rest of the way. It's my first opportunity to use the word shellacking on the show this year. This came back into my mind last night watching the Eagles because I had forgot to mention this after that Steelers-Panthers game. The Steelers got flagged one time in that game. against the Panthers. Because the Steelers crushed them, I didn't even bother mentioning it the next day. It like went out of mind. I'm like, well, you know, it's one flag. They got beat by 38 points. It didn't really, maybe it didn't.
Roethlisberger, five touchdown passes, I believe.
Five touchdown passes, three incompletions. Right. But they got flagged one time. And there was a few times in that game. And again, they won by 38. I'm not saying it impacted the ultimate outcome. But there's a few times in that game where you're like, are you serious? You didn't throw a flag on that? Like Juju just absolutely destroyed somebody on a run. It was in front of everybody. They didn't call it. There was a few things in that game where you're like, are you guys serious? You're not flat. Like things that the average fan could see with the naked eye. Flagged Pittsburgh once. You know, last night the Eagles were not flagged at all and still lost to the Cowboys.
Wow.
Not flagged. Not a single flag in that game. Eagles still lost. The Eagles, penalty-free game against the Cowboys. Only the second team all season to play a penalty-free game. The Patriots, the other against Kansas City. There have been 30 penalty-free games since 2000, and a league-high five have come with the Cowboys as the opponent. Interesting. But anyway, back to Carolina. Just want to point out that Pittsburgh was only flagged once. Keep an eye on these kinds of games where the refs just appear to be keeping it in the pocket for certain teams. Carolina's at Detroit. Carolina's got to be favored. And I'm going to say it's more than a field goal, Vinny. I'll say it's by four on the road.
3.5. You're right there, Gil.
All right.
3.5.
How can you trust
Panthers.
Detroit in any way?
Anymore, yeah. Well, and then, of course, you're kind of scratching your head after Thursday night with the Panthers, right? Because they were on a roll. They were playing very well. And then they go into Pittsburgh. Looked like they were going to, it was going to be a good game. Again, they went down. They scored on their first possession. It was 7-0. But the Steelers just completely took over and dominated.
Yeah, they sure did.
The rest of the way.
Again, just that was the beginning. That was the first salvo of a very strange week in the NFL where certain games were just over real quick.
Yes.
So Carolina by 3.5 at Detroit?
I said four for it.
That's about right. What's next?
The Cowboys, after last night, go down to Atlanta to play the Falcons, who obviously things didn't go well in Cleveland yesterday.
Yeah.
Cowboys
at Falcons. Cowboys get the win last night against the flagless Eagles. Eagles were not flagged. Cowboys still won. Cowboys led that game at halftime 13-3. Eagles came back on them to tie it twice. Cowboys still couldn't get stopped. And I'll say it again, Amari Cooper makes things so much easier for that Cowboys offense. If we have one game to show that, that is my conclusion from that yesterday. It just seems like that Cowboys offense has it so much easier, even though it might not show up in the box score. Showed up in the box score for Zeke. 19 carries, 151 yards last night, a touchdown. Also caught 6 passes for 36 and another touchdown. And may I just say this, that play where he hurdled the defender, if he takes that to the house, that is not only the iconic play of this season, but will be shown on NFL films for decades to come. Instead, he hurdles the defender and falls flat on his, face 2 steps later. So forget the iconic play. But that was an unbelievable play.
But besides that, is that the best performance by Elliott in the last, maybe from even last year and this year, right?
I think
season
so.
And a half, right?
I would say, right? I think so.
Mm-hmm.
Atlanta, so Dallas gets to 4-5, and again, the proverbial must-win situation, right?
Right.
Eagles drop to 4-5, but Dallas gets that much-needed win. They go to Atlanta. Atlanta goes into Cleveland, gets housed by the Browns. That was probably the best Browns game in the last few years.
Mm-hmm.
Most complete performance by the Browns I can remember in recent
history. Especially in week 10, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you think about it at this point in the season, sure.
28-16, Browns win. Falcons ended up being 5.5-point favorites in that game. Matt Ryan in defeat, 38 of 52 for 332 touchdowns, no picks. Julio Jones in defeat, 7 catches for 107 and a touchdown. Falcons had their 3-game winning streak, and any playoff momentum really stopped cold. And I will say this about Super Contest picks yesterday. Again, I was 2-3 in gold, and at best will be 2-3 after tonight in Classic. The games that we were considering that didn't make the cut would have also been losers.
Mm.
Tampa Bay, the Falcons. I told my buddy, I was like, I don't trust the Falcons. I said, it sounds, when we're doing this in the middle of the week, it feels all good to pick the Falcons against the Browns, but wait till the Falcons, wait till you remember very quickly the Falcons on grass on the road is a much different football team.
You mentioned they closed 5.5. You know, at one point, and the game opened 4.
Yeah.
That game got as high as 6.5 briefly.
Man.
The other day. So.
So Dallas is at Atlanta, but now Atlanta's back on the turf, right? So all that said, mm-hmm. I think you have to think of the Atlanta Falcons. I've mentioned this a few times already this year. Home road splits in football. You have to think of the Falcons one way as a road team, and you have to think of them entirely differently as a home team. So the Falcons will be favorite, and I'll even say this is more than a field goal.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say Atlanta by 4 over the Cowboys.
Atlanta 4. It is Atlanta 4. You got it.
These are easy so far.
So it's easy,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, this one we're going to have to this is the Bengals-Ravens, and of course there's a question mark here.
There's a question mark because we don't know about Joe Flacco's
Joe Flacco,
hip.
Right. So if it's Lamar Jackson, so full disclosure, it's a kind of a timeout on this game, but
I see.
I mean, we can chat about it.
If it's Joe Flacco playing,
mm-hmm.
wouldn't this be just a standard Baltimore by 3?
It depends. You know, you could make a case. I think it would be a little bit more, but neither team is playing real well right now, right? And neither team is obvious. I mean, the Bengals are not healthy at all.
Bengals defense.
Ravens.
Horrific.
Trending in the wrong way. The question is, what's the difference between Joe Flacco and Lamar Jackson? Like, Lamar Jackson's a different dimension. He gives them probably more mobility and creativity, but in a starting role, it's a bit different, right? So
Joe Flacco, apathetic face, or Joe Flacco, I care face? It's also an assessment.
Just go Joe Flacco face and go right in between. I mean, so it's probably about, what do you think, about a 2-point difference?
I'm glad you said that, because that's all it would be,
yeah,
right?
If that, yeah.
That's all it is.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, right now, so it's holding up on that game simply because, and you have to know who's going
to
be under center.
Cincinnati's 5-4, by the way. Baltimore's 4-5. Mm-hmm. Should I keep saying must win?
And Ravens off the other thing is Ravens off the bye. Just as a matter of reference.
Ravens off the bye, and the Bengals defense off a bye, apparently, as well.
Oh, my Lord.
Say Flacco -3,
Saints,
Lamar -1.
So
I would say pick them myself. But Cincinnati, I know we don't have a definitive line here, but Cincinnati yesterday against the Saints, Andy Dalton was 12 of 20 for 153, one touchdown, 2 picks, sacked 4 times. The Bengals were 0 for 6 on third downs, and they possessed the ball for just over 20 minutes, 20 minutes and 14 seconds. Cincinnati became the first team in the Super Bowl era to give up 500 yards in 3 consecutive games. New Orleans finished with 509 against them yesterday. The Bengals matched the most lopsided defeat in franchise history, gave up the second most points in club history.
Mm-hmm.
In the first half alone, the Saints had 311 yards and 21 first downs on 40 plays.
Saints are good, Gil. 7-2 to the number. Let's remember that.
Let's remember that.
Cash and tickets
is what it's all about.
That's right.
I owe Brent 10 cents. In the last 4 games, the Bengals have given up 481, 551, 576, and 509 yards. Is that good, Vinny? I'm told that's not good. They're on pace to give up the most yards in NFL history.
You know, they were a surprise the first month, but I think, obviously, I don't think anybody is shocked at how teams have, and given the teams that they've played, even with AJ Green yesterday, I don't think they win or cover the game for sure.
Anyway, so Baltimore 3 if it's Flacco, but we don't know Flacco.
Gotta wait.
Should we do one more? No, let's go to break.
Break?
Let's go to break.
Okay.
Let's go to break.
All right.
You said something about the difference between Flacco and Lamar Jackson there only being 2 points, and I'm sure some people driving right now are like, "Wow, only 2 points." I'm going to ask you the same thing about a basketball trade that happened this weekend with Jimmy Butler going
mm-hmm.
to the Philadelphia 76ers. Does that mean anything? On air, coming back with Vinny Malilo, in for Chrissy Andrews this morning, right here on Guessing Lines, right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN.
Now, back to A Numbers Game with your host, Gil Alexander, broadcasting live from our VSiN studios in Las Vegas.
Back on A Numbers Game here at Sirius XM Channel 204. It is A Numbers Game, where sports betting analytics live, actionable sports betting information. It's Gil Alexander. Jorge back in the saddle today. Shout out to Matt Jones again for a fine week last week. But Jorge's back in the in his seat. Hello, Jorge.
You know, you guys were talking about my scarf. You didn't even realize what it was for.
Please tell us.
Manchester City won the derby.
Yeah.
Our Premier League segment on Friday was perfect. He got every single call correct.
Paul Carr is on a Premier League roll on Fridays. Can't miss. Shout out to you. We were just kidding you about Argentina and North Carolina. We knew it wasn't any of that. Vinny is here for Chrissy this morning. And Chrissy, though furiously working behind the scenes, posting these lines with you, you said something about the fact that the difference between Joe Flacco, Super Bowl champion Joe Flacco, who of course is a veteran in this league, the National Football League, and rookie Lamar Jackson, who has made nary a start. You said the difference in the line, in the betting market line, is 2 points.
About that.
Two! I think there's a lot of people who are driving are like, you got to be kidding me. Two, are you crazy?
What do you think, it's high or low?
I agree with you. I think it's only two.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's the a great lesson for bettors that think that lines move way more than they do based on one player, and how very few players actually move the proverbial needle, if you will. So now in the NBA, let me ask you this, if I could. Big trade in the NBA this weekend. Headline in the NBA, the T-Wolves. They trade Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler gets his wish. He's out of there. He gets traded to the Philadelphia 76ers, along with Justin Patton, in exchange for Robert Covington, Dario Saric, Jared Bayless as well. Covington and Saric, good players. I like Saric's game, but I just don't think that I think if you're the Sixers, I think you make that trade, and you hope to sign Jimmy Butler long-term. And you've got Embiid and Simmons and now Butler. And you hope, first of all, process schmosses, as my mom used to say. Let's get that out of the way. That's done. So that's your core, and you hope Butler's there long-term. But the question for you, Vinny, becomes, all right, Jimmy Butler goes to the Sixers. Is Jimmy Butler, who's, let's say, a top 20 to 25 player in the NBA, I think that's pretty much consensus on that. Does he move the needle? Do you move futures numbers on the Sixers on air, or do you wait for the money to come in?
I think there's a couple of factors, and it's good. Let's go back to the Flacco Jackson thing too, because there's other factors involved, circumstances, current form. Had the 2 points that I'm referring to could be different, could be more if the Ravens were playing the way they played against the Steelers in Pittsburgh a month ago, right? And ever since then, they're a different team. They're trending down. So there's circumstances to take into consideration as well. In terms of Jimmy Butler, not yet, and I'll tell you why. First of all, you look into it a little bit as well. Joel Embiid's comments the other day were interesting in the sense that, yeah, we welcome him, but is he about him or is he about the team? Is Jimmy Butler one of the top 25 players in the league, to your point? I think he is when he's being Jimmy Butler, when he's playing. Don't forget, he's an Olympian, too. Let's remember this. He played on our national team with the likes of LeBron James et al. Okay, so definitely one of the top players in the league. But he's become a player that's been more of a distraction. Is he scoring? Is he playing good? Yeah, he's a good player. But the thing you have to remember is, what is the chemistry like with the team now? We knew what the chemistry was like with the Sixers before. We knew what the chemistry was like with the Timberwolves before. Now, how does that dynamic change? To me, I want to see that a little bit before there is a significant adjustment. In terms of the futures, not just yet, because Sixers are right there because the Celtics, I would say, you know, the other part of the little wild card in this is, have the Celtics underachieved a little bit to this point? Probably, in the eyes of some people. So there's some things to look at and you're going to watch a little bit. Is Jimmy Butler going to have as many nights off in Philadelphia as he's had in Minnesota in this early going?
Certainly
don't
not.
Forget the proverbial rest.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of dynamics in place, right? I don't want to commit to a specific number just yet, except what I will say is this. Has it moved the needle, in my opinion, for the futures yet? No.
And that's what I was getting at. The point that I'm trying to make is, you think, right, and the mainstream media, oh my God, what a monster trade this is in the NBA. Mm-hmm. Well, by their definition, by the casual world's definition as we've known it for our lives, yeah. But the betting markets is the truth. And it doesn't move anything. The Sixers are, by any standard, no better right now, sight unseen, obviously, with Butler, than the fourth best team in the conference. You have the Celtics as the as the team to beat in the Eastern Conference. I think folks would say that, despite the fact that right now, right out of the chutes, Toronto, they're never losing basketball games, and Milwaukee has the perhaps the MVP in Giannis. They just went into Golden State and housed the Warriors. I know they didn't have Draymond. Mm-hmm. And I know Steph got hurt in the middle, but these are the current Eastern Conference odds now.
Right.
Celtics plus 450. This right here at the South Point Hotel mm-hmm. Casino. Celtics plus 450. Raptors 6-1. Sixers 15-1, and the aforementioned Bucks 25-1.
So the Sixers have come down a little bit, just to finish the point. So again, mm-hmm. overall, yeah, you could. Now that's more of an anticipatory move as well. You have to realize that the public is it's Jimmy Butler, it's great, you know, and the Celtics are underachieving. But the wild card you hit on. These Raptors are good.
Mm-hmm.
Raptors right now, they're the best team in the East.
Yeah, right at this moment.
I mean, they're, let's face it.
Yeah.
Nobody's really talking about them because the Celtics, obviously it's the Boston market, and they get a lot of attention. And then now the Sixers, who had a lot of folks felt it would be a two-team race going into the season. But right now, Toronto's the best team in the East. Let's not forget that. So, but a little bit of a move to the Sixers overall in general terms. But for me personally, I want to see more how they perform and see how this chemistry comes together. Don't forget Joel Embiid. I want to see how many times those two are in the lineup together, right? That's going
to
be the
key. I'm also hard-pressed to wonder if this team, and we'll see, we'll find out very soon. Will this iteration of the Sixers be better than the team that lost to the Celtics in the playoffs last year with Ilyasova and Bellinelli? I don't know.
That's a fair question.
I don't know that they are.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, just an exercise in letting, you know, the more casual better know. Things you think move the needle in the betting market
mm-hmm.
don't really move it at all.
Right.
Maybe slightly, if at all. Jorge.
Yes.
Seeing reports out that Cooper Kupp has officially been diagnosed with torn ACL and is out for the season.
Yeah, that was tough to see yesterday.
Rams.
We'll get to the Rams coming up, but that was a non-contact injury, and you could tell he was in severe pain.
Oftentimes, ACLs are non-contact, which is really pretty amazing.
That's when you know they're serious, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's move on. We left off with Cincinnati, Baltimore, where there was no line for that game. What's
leading
next?
On the status of Joe Flacco.
Yep.
The Vikings at the Bears.
Vikings at the Bears.
Talk about a big game, an important game, and these two teams going heads up for the division right here.
Vikings are 5-3-1. Chicago 6-3 on top in the NFC North. Bears yesterday getting it done in a big way. Bears beat the Lions 34-22. They cover the 7-point spread. Mitchell Trubisky, 23 of 30 for 355, three touchdowns, no picks, and a 148.6 passer rating. Give it up for Mitch Trubisky. We often say not nice things about Trubisky, or at least downplay him, but that is a great game. Allen Robinson, 6 catches for 133, 2 touchdowns for the Bears. Anthony Miller, 5 catches for 122 and a touchdown. Trubisky also ran for a touchdown. That 355 yards is a career high for him, by the way. First place Bears. I did not know this, Vinny. They snap a 10-game losing streak against division opponents with that win yesterday. They lost 10 in a row to division opponents. They had dropped 9 of 10 against Detroit specifically.
Mm-hmm.
First division win since Halloween 2016. And the Bears surpassed their win total from last year with their third straight victory.
Yep.
How about that?
It's a good team. And a popular team, no question. And Trubisky, I think, for me personally, the jury is still out. I liked it. But I thought he played a good game yesterday.
He did.
And I'm going to say that was a better performance yesterday. Statistically, it was a bigger performance against Tampa Bay earlier in the year, remember. But I think overall, a better performance yesterday.
Yeah, he had 6 touchdowns against the Bucks, but I think you're right. Better overall performance. Khalil Mack, 2 of Chicago's 6 sacks mm-hmm. against Stafford, both in the second half after missing back-to-back games with an injured right ankle.
Mm-hmm.
And Cody Parkey of the Bears. If you're looking for one knock on the Bears yesterday, Cody Parkey did the impossible. He missed 2 extra points and 2 field goals, hitting uprights on all 4 kicks. You get a prize for that? That's unbelievable. Hit an upright on all 4 of those.
Couldn't, what's the price of that?
That's, yeah. Trubisky, by the way, at halftime had a perfect rating, 158.3. He was 14 of 16 in the first half for 209 yards, two touchdowns, in a no-huddle predominantly for the Bears. And Chicago scored on its first four possessions to grab a 26-0 lead. Chicago by, you know, and Minnesota with the extra rest here. They're coming off a bye.
Yes.
Remember when the Vikings were considered at the beginning of the year to be a viable Super Bowl contender? Are we thinking of them that way anymore? I don't think we are. Chicago by a field goal.
Yes.
That was a long field way goal. To go for that.
I think
it?
You'll see this game bounce between 3 and 2.5. You know, but 3.
Yeah.
Open 3 here at the South Point.
Got to check the weather. Sunday games in Chicago in November.
Soldier Field. But it's football.
Soldier.
It feels like it. Feels like football. This game feels like football. It's a football game.
Good hitting weather, as Madden used to say. Should we do one more here? Or
yes, let's do one more.
All right, we'll do one more.
The defending champions against one of this year's contenders. The Eagles in New Orleans to play the Saints.
Hard to not think the Saints are the in the catbird seat right now. I know the Chiefs and the Rams get all the headlines, but man, that was perfection yesterday. The Eagles we talked about, the Eagles are now 4-5. The defending Super Bowl champion Eagles, who were not flagged at all yesterday, as we just talked about. The Eagles are 4-5. Carson Wentz in defeat, 32 of 44 for 360 yesterday, two touchdowns and a pick. Zach Ertz, you will go a long way before you see a tight end line like this. 14 catches for 145 and two scores. But his pass to Ertz, Wentz to Ertz on fourth down, fell a yard short of a first down at the Cowboys 29 with 109 left. That sealed the deal for the Cowboys and Eagles game last night. Eagles got the ball back, by the way, at their 32. I shouldn't say that. After that, with 40 seconds left, they drove all the way down to the Cowboys 32 for the final play, and then Wentz completed a pass to Ertz inside the Dallas 10. Ertz lateraled to Golden Tate, but he was tackled for no gain to end it.
Mm.
The Eagles last year, I was saying this with Mitch and Pauly, how they converted on third downs all the time last year. They only had, the Eagles only had all of last year 188 total plays where they were playing from behind. They've already had 204 through 9 games this year.
And they were deadly on fourth down last year as well. Remember?
Yeah, deadly. Right?
Yep.
Saints scored on their first 9 possessions yesterday against the Bengals. They kneeled on their 10th. That's all you need to know.
Mm-hmm.
Breeze, 22 of 25 for 265, 3 touchdowns, no picks, 150.4 passer rating. And oh, by the way, he scored one as well. New Orleans by a touchdown at home.
7.5.
Oh! Get the hook, too.
Get the hook.
Wow.
You might see 7.5 back and forth here. Yeah. Probably go back and forth. But how about that? The defending Super Bowl champions, 7.5-point dogs.
There have been 51 Super Bowl champions. 16 did not make the playoffs the following year. The Eagles, right now, would be the 17th out of 52.
Wow.
Man. Wow. We'll get back to Guessing Lines. Vinny Malilo in for Chrissy Andrews. It's a numbers game right here at VSiN.
As always, the show brought to you by the good folks over at Bookmaker.eu. Bookmaker.eu, an industry leader for close to 30 years, not only because pro players consider them a must because they're first to post odds, but also because they take the highest limits and pride themselves on never having kicked out a winning player ever. Highest limits, never kick out a player. That is a winning combination for the ages, the rarest of all commodities. Bookmaker, a high-volume sportsbook, best suited for the sophisticated player who understands sports betting. But if you're a large recreational player, you will love it as well. Bookmaker's motto, where the lines originate, chances are your sportsbook follows their line. That's why that motto exists. And right now, again, if you visit bookmaker.eu/gill, that's bookmaker.eu/GILL today, you join, you'll claim an exclusive 100% welcome bonus of up to $300. That's bookmaker.eu/gill with two L's to join and claim your welcome bonus of up to $300. I've said it before, I will say it again. If you don't have Bookmaker as part of your betting approach, you're doing it wrong. Seriously, you are. Bookmaker.eu for, again, the extra bonus, bookmaker.eu/gill with two L's. Check it out. You will not regret it. I promise.
Now, back to a numbers game with your host, Gil Alexander, broadcasting live from our VSiN studios in Las Vegas.
Vinny and I lamenting how the word goat has now shifted meaning 180 degrees. Used to be.
Used to be. That was the...
The person who cost the you the game.
Yeah. Now, greatest of all time. Yeah. Remember, from hero to goat?
Yeah.
Right? Or goat to hero?
There's a whole generation that doesn't know that.
Everybody's like, what are you talking about? Tom Brady's the goat.
He's the goat. What do you mean he's the goat?
The first time I heard Tom Brady, I was like, he did great.
Yeah.
As somebody from the current generation, I feel like you guys are getting into get off my lawn territory right now. I'm just warning
hey,
you.
Hey, hey, hey. Stay off the lawn. That's what the sidewalk
is. He said stay off the lawn.
All right.
Can I talk about this now? Am I allowed to talk about this now? So Vinny is in here for Chrissy this morning, and I just want to point out that this coming weekend here at South Point, and yes, we'll talk about this in more detail throughout the VSiN day for the rest of the week, but we are going to have a blood drive here at the South Point Hotel Casino, and matter of fact, I'll get some details on it right now, courtesy of the great B-Raj, Brian Rogers. Chrissy, as you may know, who we love and adore, and when I say love and adore, I don't want that those words to come off as like, oh, just a throwaway. No, we love Chrissy.
It's not fluff, it's true.
Yeah, should go without saying if you haven't figured it out yet. My mishpocha, for God's sakes. But he has some health issues, and he's since been on our air saying that transfusions of donated blood saved his life. And so we'd like to join Chris in encouraging everyone who can to donate blood. And if you live in or near Las Vegas, please join us right here at the South Point's upcoming blood drive. It's November 19th. That is a week from today, Brian, on a Monday? Okay, so it's a week from today, from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. in the Brunswick Room here at the South Point Hotel Casino. For those outside the area, please visit www.redcross.org and click the Give Blood tab to learn where to donate near you. And we hope you'll join us in honoring our friend Chrissy and helping the more than 4.5 million Americans who need donated blood each and every year. Again, that's a week from today, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. here in Vegas in the Brunswick Room. Everybody else, redcross.org. Click the Give Blood tab to learn where to donate near you.
You know, it's when I spoke with Chris yesterday, he was actually receiving a transfusion yesterday afternoon. So, Chrissy, thinking about you, buddy, and we soldier on with Guessing Lines in your name. I mean,
in your name, in tribute and honor. And we'll do that. We'll do some more of that right after the break here at VSiN.
Now, live from the VSiN studios in the South Point Hotel and Casino, it's Gil Alexander.
Guessing Lines on a Monday here on VSiN. Numbers game, Gil Alexander. Jorge is in. Vinny in for Chrissy on this Monday as we go over week 11 lines in the National Football League. When I was a kid, today used to be, the Monday used to be Veterans Day, or at least we took off on Veterans Day, but yesterday was technically Veterans Day. Right. Either way, we want to pay tribute to those who have served. Thank you for your service.
Past and present.
Past and present.
Right.
That's exactly right.
Including my dad, VSiN Vinny 1.
You're VSiN Vinny 2?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, my dad served during... the Korean conflict. He was a medic. But he was fortunate, I guess, not to have to go to Korea. Some of his division did, 1st Infantry Division. He was an occupational force in Bavaria.
It is because of people like your father and all the veterans that we get to prattle on about things like NFL lines.
That's right. And who covered and who didn't.
That's right.
You think we have it rough.
Jorge?
One of the guys who works behind the glass here, Michael Sosi, he works on the weekends and he does a lot of the shots around the city. So whenever you see a sports book from around the city, he's usually one of the producers in the back. He's also a veteran, so I want to thank him for his service.
Outstanding.
And it is. All of our privileges come from that and our freedoms. And, you know, there's no artful way to segue back into the NFL. I don't want to give the Saints short shrift. We just talked about them briefly yesterday. I said 7 against the Eagles. You said it's 7.5. My, oh, my, how the Super Bowl champions have fallen. But I don't want to skate by the Saints because, again, what they did yesterday against the Bengals, you could go years, decades without it happening again. The Saints scored on their first nine possessions. They kneeled on their 10th. Offensive perfection. Drew Brees, 22 of 25 for 265. Three touchdowns, no picks. Again, as many touchdown passes as incompletions. And, oh, he added one, that thing where he just reaches over the goal line, that Drew Brees thing that he does. 150.4 passer rating. Mark Ingram, 13 carries, 104. Three catches for 58 and a touchdown. Alvin Kamara, 12 carries, 56 yards, two touchdowns, four catches for 46. Michael Thomas, eight catches for 70, two touchdowns. Eighth straight win for the Saints. They beat the Bengals 51-14, scoring every time they got the ball, except for the last one again when they kneeled. Brees led the Saints to touchdowns all five first half possessions. Only two picks. Two incompletions in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
18 of 20 for 214. Three touchdowns in the first half. They picked up 244 yards on the ground, did the Saints. It goes on and on and on. By the way, on defense, they've allowed touchdowns on 20 of their opponents' 28 drives inside the 20-yard line, which, by the way, is only 28th out of 32 teams. So yesterday what they did is they just kept the Bengals out of the red zone. The Bengals only got inside the red zone once. They did score a touchdown. But that's how you prevent that. Just don't let them in there.
Taking care of business. You know, you talk about look-aheads, too, in scheduling. They still have two games with Carolina, two important division games.
Yep.
And I believe they still have a date with the Steelers as well. So that's why the win last week against the Rams was so important. When you look at the schedules for the rest of the season, Gil, certainly the Rams would have an edge in terms of where the Saints have a much more difficult road ahead. But they've met every challenge so far.
There's no such thing as a bad spot in the schedule. Not yet, anyway.
No, not yet.
We don't usually distill it down to like a completion percentage, one quarterback to one wide receiver. But Drew Brees, when targeting Michael Thomas this season, has an 89% completion rate. 89% completion rate. So basically, not to dumb it down, you have Kamara and Ingram, but really if you just go to Thomas every time with those guys on the field, you're going to be fine.
Man.
Vinny, they do play the Steelers week 16.
Week 16.
They play the Panthers week 17, so that might be wrapped up by then. My favorite stat of that you haven't mentioned yet, they didn't punt at all yesterday, like you mentioned, scored every time. They have the fewest amount of punts this entire season, 19.
19 punts?
So Thomas Morstead is their punter, and the Saints' Twitter account caught up with him napping in his locker room during the game.
19 punts
in nine games. Yeah. 8-1.
Awesome.
Michael Thomas, 274 catches, 40 career games. That surpasses Odell Beckham Jr., who had the mark for the most receptions in NFL history through 40 outings. So it's 7.5 against the defending Super Bowl champion. So again, as I mentioned before, could be the 17th Super Bowl champion out of 52 not to make the playoffs the year after winning the title. Wow. Again, the Eagles, who won the Super Bowl using replay rules from the future. Eagles fans get so mad when I say that. It's
as
true.
As only a Redskin fan
what?
Would bring up.
Oh, why'd you have to bring that? As if that had anything to do with it.
All next.
Right, next.
Titans at the Colts. How about these Colts?
How about these Colts? The Colts who have not gotten sacked. Andrew Luck has not gotten sacked in four games.
And how about these Titans? This is a good game. How about this game, Gil?
It's an AFC South clash.
Clash.
So here's what I did in the Super Contest yesterday. This is how dumb I am. You ready for this? I had the Colts as one of my five, and I'm like, oh, it's three in the contest against the Jaguars. You know what? That might push. I was right about
that,
right?
You were.
So I replaced it with a loser. I replaced it with the Jets. Thank you very much. Great moments in Super Contest history. Colts beat the Jaguars 29-26. They do hold on.
Mm-hmm.
Colts were really good. Andrew Luck was really good in the first half. Then it kind of was just hanging on in the second. Tennessee, as we mentioned, beat the Patriots. Did you, again, one thing to cover against the Patriots, one thing to beat them. Did you think they were going to crush the Patriots like they did? That was, we're not used to seeing the Patriots manhandled like that.
And let's remember, force Bill Belichick to say, you know what, that's enough for Tom Brady today.
Yeah.
Middle of the fourth quarter. You're done for the day.
Brian Hoyer, come on in.
This game is done. So
Titans win it 34-10.
Yep.
Some comments after the game. Deion Lewis, former Patriot.
Former Patriot, yeah.
Quote, we knew we could be physical with them and they would fold. Hell yeah, it's personal. When you go cheap, you get your ass kicked. meaning he would have signed for less. They still didn't want to pay him.
Patriots with three losses, two of them, one to the Jags early on, but a dominant performance by the Jags, being the Jags' best game of the year, probably.
That's right, by far.
Down in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
And now to Tennessee. Another dominant performance.
Titans sacked Tom Brady three times, hit him six more times in their 34-10 win. Most sacks allowed in a game this season by the Patriots. And as you said, Belichick pulling Brady for Brian Hoyer midway through the fourth. Titans outgained the Patriots 385-284, holding New England to just 40 yards rushing. And the Titans, the previously offensively challenged Titans, scored a season high in points after jumping out to a 17-3 lead in the first quarter. And now have beaten both of last season's Super Bowl teams, the Eagles and the Patriots, at home this year.
Yeah.
Titans came in with the NFL's stingiest scoring D, also led the league in fewest touchdowns allowed in the red zone, and they held the Patriots to a pair of 52-yard field goal attempts by Gostkowski. Missed the second one, by the way. James Devlin did score from 1 yard out early in the second. But that was the domination. Corey Davis, 7 catches for 125 and a touchdown for Tennessee. Back to the Colts for a second. Andrew Luck, 21 of 29 in their three-point win over Jacksonville, the Colts' three-point win. 21 of 29 for 285, three touchdowns, one pick. Luck threw three first-half touchdown passes, picked up only two first downs in the second half.
Right.
Jacksonville trailing by three, quickly marched from its 42-yard line late into field goal range. And then Rashad Greene Sr. went down at the Colts 23. It looked like the Jaguars were already set up for at least a tying field goal. And initially, Greene was ruled down before the ball squirted out. On review, it was ruled that Kenny Moore had ripped the ball away from Greene just before his leg went down, and Malik Hooker scooped it up. And that was the final nail in the coffin for the Jaguars just before they ran. By the way, it looked like the Jaguars got the next play off, too.
And yeah, but that came down from the booth, I believe, right? Because there can't be a challenge in the last 2 minutes, right? So that, I think, came down from upstairs,
yeah,
if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up, Gil, because a lot of folks may not realize it, that we're not watching that game, how that game ended. It ended on an overturned call.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing. People are going to remember from this show that I was saying, when are you going to do something, Andrew Luck? But people need to know, I have a Colts to win the AFC South future from before the season at 8-1. So I am all about the Colts doing well.
Okay.
And so having that ticket in my pocket, can I just tell you this? I didn't think he fumbled the ball. There's a lot of people who are watching like, oh, he did. I did not think he fumbled the ball. I thought his lower leg, his calf muscle was down, or his shin in this case, was down. And then the ball squirted. He had the ball pinned to his body.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get the rules anymore.
Yeah.
I don't get them anymore.
It's very unpredictable. I mean, when you were watching the replay, clearly the ball came loose. But to your point, Gil, clutching it to his body, which you couldn't see, I didn't think there was enough evidence to overturn the
ball.
Me
too. That's
right?
What I mean.
So
yeah.
I think that's now, was the ball, you know, coming loose? Yeah, I mean, you can make, a case so many more times.
Right, but when did pinning it to your body?
Exactly.
And then it looked like they got.
But that's how that game ended. And then, of course, the Colts went into victory formation. That was it.
Yeah. And the Jags seemingly got a playoff, but then they were told they didn't.
Remember this, too. There was a time during the week, a couple of times, that game went to 2.5.
Yeah.
So, yeah. There were. It bounced between Colts 3 and 2.5 midweek.
So again, I was like, oh, I don't want to pick the Colts because that might push. It did, and then I took the Jets. This will be 3-2 then. This will be 3 also. The Colts will be, just like they were 3 points favorites over the Jaguars, I think they should be 3-point favorites over the Titans.
2.5.
Okay.
And it'll bounce back and forth probably between 2.5 and 3 during the course of the week. Probably.
I can see that.
Yep. All right, Gil.
Colts 2 games out now.
Mm-hmm. Against this team, the Texans, who go to Washington.
Oh, wow.
Against the...
The schedule is funny because...
Redskins.
Should I call this the Paper Tiger Bowl? No, what it is, it's the Texans who have the most ridiculous record in football based on what has happened in their games versus the true Paper Tiger, the Washington Redskins. So the Texans, who are 6-3, coming off the bye here. The Texans... Again, they're 6 wins. Jedi mind-tricking Frank Reich into punting, or excuse me, into going for it in his own territory in overtime.
Mm-hmm.
All the Texans needed was one more play and a field goal.
Mm-hmm.
They failed to convert. Jedi mind tricking Jason Garrett into punting the ball while in Texans territory in overtime. That was another win. Last week, Jedi mind tricking Vance Joseph into kicking a 62-yard field goal at the end of the first half, which of course missed, no fault of Brandon McManus's, and the Texans having enough time to get the field goal just before the first half ended. That ended up being the margin of victory of the game. Texans ended up winning by two. They had no business beating Buffalo, where they got a pick six late at home. They ended up beating a inner turmoil Jacksonville team. And, oh, by the way, their one big win was on a squirrely Thursday night against the Dolphins. Did I cover it all? I think
pretty
I did.
Much. But right. they find
but
a
they
way.
They find a way.
As and, bizarre as those ways are.
Just like I'll say to Colts fans, where I have a future sticking on them, Texans, I have an over at 8.5. So I love the fact that you're winning
there you
these
go.
Games.
There you
and
go.
Then there's the Washington Redskins. The NFC East leading Washington Redskins. Leading the division by two games.
That's right.
Over the Cowboys and the Eagles.
6-3.
Do we have Hail to the Redskins playing in the background? Can we get that, Jorge, please, real quick? Thanks. Appreciate that. The Redskins, the box score in the Redskins-Buccaneers game yesterday is a sight to behold. Frame it. Redskins win this game 16-3. They do so as 3.5-point dogs on the road at Tampa. Washington gave up 501 yards yesterday and forced Tampa Bay to punt once all game. Let me repeat that. Gave up 501 yards to the Bucs, forced Tampa Bay to punt once all day. That's what four takeaways, three of them foiling scoring opportunities, mm-hmm. will do for a team that struggles to score points, and that is, in fact, the Redskins. They struggle to score points. The Redskins' turnover differential improves to plus 11 on the season. The Redskins were outgained 279-136 in the first two quarters, yet led 6-3 at halftime. Let me continue with these. The Bucs out first downed them 29-15. Third down conversions for the Bucs 6-10. Total yards, Bucs 499, Skins 286. Passing yards, Bucs 396, Skins 170. Turnovers 4-0 in favor of the Redskins. It's all that matters.
Fitzpatrick, almost 400 yards passing.
406.
Right? So you think about it. How many touchdowns did he throw? None.
None.
The thing about turnovers, too, is when and where they occur. And if you look at one in particular, was right on the goal line. Interception by the Redskins.
There's another fumble as they were going towards the goal line.
It's amazing. So hard to believe. And let's remember this, that the Redskins' offensive line decimated by injuries. From a week ago.
No starting guards. They're done.
I mean,
their starting tackles are always banged up.
And here you've got these two teams.
This is at Washington.
This game is in Washington. The Texans in Washington against the Redskins.
Quirky stat of the year. You thought the Chiefs' streak of coin flips that finally ended yesterday was a quirky stat? The Skins have not been involved in a lead change in any game all season. How about that, Vinny?
By the way, they like to play on the road more so. Too,
that's what Josh Norman said.
Right?
Josh Norman said
they don't
like to play on the road more.
They like to be on the road.
That's a testament to the morgue that is FedEx Field. It's a morgue.
But
it's the worst place ever.
Washington used to be a really good home field.
I grew up at RFK,
right? You know
Vinny.
That, right?
Oh, my memories with my father at RFK with the stadium shaking. Are you kidding me?
Unbelievable.
And now they play in an antiseptic donut in Landover.
But how do you
can't get in and you can't get out. It's been that way since day one. You know what I'm talking about, Skins fans.
That's right.
Everybody in D.C. nodding right now. So it's Houston at Washington.
Houston
is going to be a favorite on the road, Vinny. This is how little I think of the NFC East leading Redskins, who have an easy schedule. And Aaron Schatz, who was on a numbers game last week, might be right. Even as decimated as the Redskins' offensive line is, they may get there.
They might. They just might.
Can you imagine wild?
Nobody else wants to win the division.
Can you imagine wild card week already? Let's just imagine wild card week. The Redskins in a wild card game. And in the AFC, the Texans against the Bengals part 17.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Houston's going to be favored by 3 on the road.
That is correct.
Yes.
Houston 3. There you go. Here's one for you.
Oh, that was it? That's all we got? Yeah, you're right. So that's all that needs to be said.
That's it.
The Redskins are 3-point dogs at 6-3. At home.
After antiseptic, I
sorry.
I got nothing else.
Sorry.
All right. There's one.
You can tell I love the
Now,
over.
The Giants play tonight, but we do have a number. Buccaneers against the Giants at the Giants.
Saquon Barkley says we're going to win the next eight games.
They're going to sweep starting tonight, right?
Barkley said we're going to beat the the Niners, then we're going to beat the Bucks, then we're going to win six more after that.
Right.
You imagine the Giants.
Right. By the way, Niners stole 3.5 tonight against the Giants.
You imagine if the 1-7 Giants won the NFC East? Tampa Bay at the Giants, is that what you said? So we went through.
Tampa Bay already went through the Giants.
Yeah, we already went through the Tampa Bay stats.
Yes.
Fitzpatrick intercepted twice, lost a fumble on a sack inside the Washington 10. Intercepted twice and lost a fumble on a sack inside the Washington 10.
Yes.
Bucks have the NFL's top passing attack, second in total offense. They fell to 1-3 straight up in games. They've gained 500 plus yards in this season. Can you imagine? 500 plus yards in four games, they're 1-3. Tampa Bay lost three in a row now, 6 of 7, following a 2-0 start. They have failed to force a turnover on defense for the sixth straight game. Wow. Man, you got to take the ball away at some point.
You do.
Three of their four giveaways, by the way, thwarted scoring opportunities, as we mentioned, including Jacquizz Rodgers' fumble on a reception that rolled 18 yards into the end zone, where it was recovered by HaHa Clinton Dix for a touchback. Bucks moved into Redskins territory on all five of their first half possessions. Ended up with 3 points for all that trouble.
Wow.
Fourth 400-yard game for Fitzpatrick this year. Didn't matter. 16-3. Tampa Bay at the Giants. Giants haven't played, as Vinny said. Giants still 3.5-point dogs at San Francisco. I'm so surprised tonight. It's still 3 and a hook tonight.
Well, it's gone back and forth, right? 3, 3.5. But it's been at 3.5 for the better part of the week, actually.
So without knowing what the Giants do tonight, because this is, I mean, this line could be completely, I know every game can
tonight's
influence.
Game, tonight's result could impact this number. Sure.
Oh, man. Tonight's result will totally impact. Because if the Giants crush the Niners, it's going to be one thing. But if the Giants lose to the Niners tonight, oh, man.
Might be a home dog, right?
This whole we're sweeping eight games from Saquon Barkley is going to be like fold the tent up.
Yeah.
Right now, to me, it's just a coin flip. I don't even know what to say without seeing the Giants tonight.
You got it. Pick them. There it is.
Have I missed yet today by any margin?
No.
These lines are very easy today.
Are they?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, let's go.
We do another one?
No, let's go to break. Let's
time
go to
out.
Break. How many more games do we have, Vinny?
We've got 1, 2, 3 on Sunday and, of course, Monday night.
All right. We'll continue after the break. Guessing lines, week 11, hoping to isolate value after a carnage Sunday for bettors. And people like Vinny just making out. Books getting it all back in one early slate of games in the daytime. Vinny in for Chrissy. It's a numbers game right here at VSiN. What's up? I don't get a jingle, Jorge? It's a numbers game with Gil Alexander. Oh, that's me. Wait, what happened to our jingle, Jorge?
Buttons got mashed. Something happens. It's okay. We're back. Let's get some lines.
That was good, Jorge. Is the request line open?
Whatever they're paying you, Jorge, it is not enough. That's outstanding.
Wow.
It is a numbers game right here at VSiN. SiriusXM Channel 204, Visa.com, the Visa app, and of course, Fubo TV. Point Spread Weekly, by the way, available. 119 pages worth of Point Spread Weekly. Keep setting records for amount of pages. This is the best betting magazine there is, period. Mm-hmm. Let's just put it this way. Throw out the promo. Let's just say that. This is the best betting magazine you can find. And oh, by the way, we do it every week. Stats, trends, college pro, three sets of power ratings, plays of the week. But it's not just football. College hoops is back now. Pro basketball. MMA. CFL when that's around. NASCAR. Jorge did this. NASCAR. Just in case I forgot.
He's got jingles. He's got graphics.
What would we do without him? Anyway, every sport under the sun for your betting pleasure. Trying to make you money. Subscribe to Point Spread Weekly. Get a special introductory midseason price of $99. That's our digital magazine from VSiN. Trying to make you a better bettor. Sign up for your free trial at vsin.com/subscribe. Point Spread Weekly. And Ask Vinny is in there sometimes,
that's
too.
That's right. When it's when it comes out. Yeah, there'll be another one.
Hey, Vinny.
Before I get those.
That's how you have to ask every question.
Yo, Vinny.
It's sort of like a Jeopardy thing where if you don't phrase it properly, they don't allow the question.
It doesn't count.
Every question has to start, hey, Vinny.
All right. By the way,
You did something bad, didn't you, Vinny?
I did.
You messed up.
I did.
Tell the people why you messed up.
I messed up because the Sunday night game, which will we already got to. It was the Vikings-Bears. It got flexed. So we've already talked about it.
Flexed.
Replacing the Steelers-Jaguars, which is game number three in our current segment.
Is this
a segment, right, Jorge?
Yeah, you kind of blew that one.
Yeah.
Listen, blame
Al Michaels. Blew that one.
He's the one who probably won the Chicago game in there. He made a point to talk about it last night that they hadn't been to Chicago in a long time, so Sunday Night Football goes back to Chicago next week.
So, listen, it could have been worse, right? We could have made the Vikings a favorite in Chicago. That didn't happen.
That's true.
Don't get carried away.
That's true.
All right.
We
Broncos, Chargers.
So Bears, Vikings got flexed in.
Yes.
Jaguars, Steelers, which is coming up, got flexed out. But right now, what is it?
We go to Los Angeles.
StubHub.
By the way, best wishes to the folks in California with the tragedies of last week. Our thoughts and prayers with everyone there for sure.
I was in San Francisco this weekend, and let me just tell you this. Everybody in the city of San Francisco, so think about how far that is away from the fires up there in Northern California. Everybody in the city wearing masks. Literally, the sky was hazed over.
Really?
The air quality was horrible. There was some notion that they were not going to play that game in Oakland yesterday, but the air quality wasn't quite poor enough where they didn't. But it is just, I mean, and that's outside of the tragedy zone of this, of the danger zone, if you will. In Northern California, obviously in Southern California, they're experiencing the same. So yes, our hearts go out to everybody.
Yeah.
31 lives lost in the fires. The Rams themselves evacuated from their homes down in Southern California, very close to it. That on the heels of another tragedy, obviously, a shooting in Southern California. It's just an awful, weekend for multiple reasons. This game in L.A., StubHub Arena. Is it an arena? No, StubHub.
Soccer stadium.
You know, we like to say that the Chargers don't have a home field advantage there, and they don't. But you know they rarely lose there. Chargers rarely lose anywhere now.
You know, Gil, there's a part of me that thinks that that setting has really helped them in terms of focus. I mean, you could say, so it is a home game, but they don't have to travel as much. Although I think Phillip Rivers does travel on a pretty regular basis. I don't think he relocated his family.
He's still based in San Diego.
He is, right? So he has a big family.
He got all
them
kids,
didn't want to relocate,
man.
The family, the kids in particular from school and everything. So credit him for that.
By the way, StubHub Center.
Center. It's center. A center. That's
center.
Right.
Center. That's
I used
right.
to joke about that last year. It's a center.
It's a center. It's where you play football in a center.
Yeah. Denver, you said, is going to LA?
Denver in Los Angeles at the StubHub Center to play the Chargers. Yes.
Not exaggerating what I said about San Francisco, by the way. We couldn't stay outside for any amount of
really?
Time. Like, it is just, it's, yeah, it's horrible.
Man.
And that's, again, miles and miles away. Denver at the Chargers. Listen, the Chargers are going to be a touchdown favorite here at minimum. I'll say it's a touchdown. Melvin Gordon yesterday against the Raiders, 18 carries, 93 yards, 5 catches for 72 and a touchdown. Phillip Rivers, this game started out with the Chargers doing nothing, and the Raiders just couldn't take advantage. Phillip Rivers took nearly 20 minutes to complete his first pass in this game. Didn't complete a pass till inside the second quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Chargers got gashed on a long fake punt. The offense put up a season low in yards, by the way. Chargers end up winning their sixth straight game anyway and covering in the process. 20-6 over the struggling Raiders. It's the Chargers' longest winning streak in 9 years, the six in a row. Oakland controlled the ball for 23 of the first 29 plays in the first quarter, outgained the Chargers by 129 yards, but L.A. allowed little. After Melvin Ingram forced a fumble on a sack of Derek Carr early in the second quarter, with the Raiders looking to add to a 3-0 lead. The Raiders outgained the Chargers at one point in the first quarter. They outgained the Chargers 135-6. And if you recall, before they took a 3-0 lead, Dwayne Harris was stopped by Derwin James on a shovel pass on fourth and goal from the one to deny the best chance for Oakland. Los Angeles then scored 10 points in the second quarter with the strip sack of by Ingram that I mentioned, denying Oakland another shot at a field goal, setting up one for the Chargers. Anyway, it's the Raiders. It's just how it goes for them. Chargers 7-2. I say Chargers by 7 over the Broncos, who are coming off a bye here.
Stay hot, Gil Alexander. 7 it is.
So what's really the only difference so far? That the Saints were 7.5 and I had a 7?
Just a half here and there. Yeah, you're fine. You're good.
Yeah.
Awesome. The Colts, 3 and 2.5. That's the only.
Yeah. Speaking of the Raiders.
Yeah.
They go to Arizona, play the Cardinals.
Oh, man.
That is next up, Gil.
You are not required to watch this National Football League game. Oakland's 1-8, Arizona's 2-7.
Mm-hmm.
So Oakland has lost 5 in a row now by at least 14 points.
Right.
Under John Gruden.
Mm-hmm.
Have been outscored 75-9 in the past 9 quarters. Matt Schneidman, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, writes for the San Jose Mercury News. And he says he overheard a veteran player saying, quote, "I got to get the F out of here." Except he didn't say F. This is in the locker room after the game. Oh, as I was mentioning, the air quality for the game at an unhealthy level because of wildfires yesterday in a neighboring county, about 150 miles to the north of Oakland. The air quality index was at 159 at kickoff. That's an unhealthy zone. Smoke could be smelled throughout the stadium yesterday. I don't remember the announcers mentioning it. Maybe I missed it. The NFL had monitored the situation, but the AQI never got near 200. That's the level where the game would have needed to be moved. As I said, everybody wearing masks. It was a weird feeling.
And masks were handed out of the stadium as well.
Masks, as they should be, because it is a real health hazard. Mark Davis, the owner of the Raiders, has accepted blame for the team's 1-8 start. He did a wide-ranging interview with ESPN. I think the most interesting thing to me about it was that he acknowledged that the Raiders lost their way, and he pinpointed the night when they did. And I think this is fascinating. Do you remember there was one? We tend to remember the games that make no sense to us at the time when we're handicapping them.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember when the Raiders played the Redskins on a Sunday night in Landover, Maryland last year? It was early in the season,
okay,
about a month in.
Right.
We still thought of the Raiders as a very good football team at that point, and the Redskins destroyed them.
I think were the Raiders a slight road favorite?
I think they were.
Mm-hmm.
And the Redskins destroyed them. Mark Davis, take this for what it's worth, he says that it all started that night because the team, are you ready for this, could not agree on how to protest the national anthem. And he says that sowed the seeds of discord from that moment. And he was saying that to tell everybody that everybody who's blaming John Gruden, it happened way before John Gruden is what he's trying to say. Fascinating.
Aren't they beyond that at this point, though?
Yeah, we are, because you traded everybody right. Who's good. Including a generational player, Khalil Mack. Hmm. Again, if the New York Giants were selling in the 80s, would they have traded Lawrence Taylor? No, they would not have. Stop selling us nonsense. Arizona, should be mentioned, looked pretty good yesterday in defeat against the Chiefs.
Cardinals do compete.
They do.
There's a difference between teams that get beat and just get dominated and teams that lose and compete. Cardinals are competing. And
Cardinals sacked Patrick Mahomes 4 times yesterday, Vinny.
Yeah. Cardinals have covered 5 of 9.
Listen, the Cardinals got the ball back in the fourth quarter against the big bad Chiefs yesterday. People forget.
Yeah.
With a chance to take the lead.
With a rookie quarterback.
That's what happened. Josh Rosen had a screen pass picked off by Justin Houston at the line of scrimmage, and the rest is history.
Yeah. So.
David Johnson showed up. 21 carries, 98 yards. Touchdown. 7 catches, 85 and a touchdown. Fantasy. Return to fantasy for David Johnson. Anyway, Chiefs won it 26-14. All that said, it's Oakland at Arizona. And just to let you know how bad the Raiders are, this is going to be more than a field goal. It's going to be the Cardinals by 4.
Cardinals, 4 it is.
Too easy, Jorge. These are too easy. What? Some weeks it's just too easy.
Week 11 belongs to Gil Alexander.
Yeah, but that's the worst part. The sucky part about it is that there's nothing here.
Let me you'll find something.
I think
now and next weekend,
I think at the very least I'll find 5 for a super contest.
All right, so let me mention this next game has been flexed out. If I haven't mentioned already, I don't endure the wrath.
All right, yes, this is the game that was going to be Sunday night.
That is correct.
But it's been flexed out.
It is not now. The Vikings Bears are, but the Steelers Jags play each other. And by the way, this will be a 10 a.m. Pacific start. Steelers.
10 a.m. Pacific
at the
start.
Jags.
Also a specific start at 10 a.m. as well, in addition to being a Pacific start.
By the way.
AFC divisional playoff rematch.
That's exactly right.
Do Do I keep biting your lines that you were about to say, and then I step in and I take it away from you?
Well, you're taking numbers. I don't know why I'm here. I'm just drinking coffee.
Oh, that's not good. What are you drinking this morning, Vinny? Vinny claims that Starbucks used to have a coffee in their logo.
Right, this is Seattle's best, but there was an episode. I do believe I'm responsible for the Starbucks logo for being changed. Because if you recall, they used to have the word coffee in their logo.
Yeah.
They do not anymore.
You drank it all?
No, I didn't drink it. I went in one time, and I asked for coffee.
Oh.
And this was on the heels of 10 patrons asking for everything but coffee.
Oh, I forgot how much this bothers you.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the lady said to me, "I'm sorry, sir, we're out of coffee."
MTV also rumored to have music videos once upon a time.
I couldn't
mention that.
I thought she was kidding. I said, "Nah, that's pretty good." I said, "Did you ever see that happen in Costello skit where, you know, he goes into the drugstore at the time, goes to the counter and asks for something? Well, we're out of that. But everybody else gets everything." That was it. Jorge, tate, chi chi cha cha. Oh, they got everything, right? You can get your initials right in whipped cream.
Jorge claims to have gone into a KFC once and then not having fried chicken as well. Just want to point
that
out.
No, that seriously did happen.
Yeah.
I'd have.
All right.
You gotta go.
What was the game again? Pittsburgh at Jacksonville?
Yeah, that's the one.
Blake Bortles yesterday in defeat, 26 of 38 for 320, two touchdowns, no picks. Jags have lost five straight, 6 of 7 are last in their division.
Right.
What happened, Jacksonville?
And this was a pretty trendy pick. This team was a pretty trendy pick to represent the AFC.
Oh, yeah. They were kind of a trendy pick by some yesterday, too. I didn't really get it. They were among the
Well, they were coming
five.
Off the bye, right, in a must-win situation, figured to start righting the ship within, you know, with a big division game. Obviously, it didn't happen. And to remember, the game ended, as you pointed out earlier, with them
I think
having
they got,
a call overturned.
Listen. Again, I'm incentivized to have the Colts win this division with a ticket in my hand for a lot of money, but I think Jacksonville got screwed. I really do. I don't think it was a fumble, and they actually also got a play space off that they were told, no, I'm sorry, you didn't get the playoff. We're going to have to review this. Jacksonville also, something else quirky happened in that game. They had an extra point blocked and nearly returned for a two-point conversion in the first half. And then, like, a meaningless block was thrown at the 10-yard line by the Colts as they were taking it in for 2 points. So the Jaguars got a huge break on that in that game.
Not so meaningless.
Not so meaningless. Significant to some.
That's right.
In the words of Chris Fowler. Pittsburgh 6-2-1. They've got the extra rest. They're at Jacksonville, who's 3-6. I'm going to say Pittsburgh by... Let's have some difference here, can we? Pittsburgh by 4.5.
Higher. 5.5.
5.5. All right, there's something, Jorge.
You'll probably see not really six at some point.
It's not really key, but you think it'll go to 6?
I think it'll go up before it comes down. That's for sure, in my opinion.
And you said there's only the Monday night game left, right?
That's it.
Kansas City at the Rams coming up on a numbers game right here at VSiN.
Back to a numbers game with your host, Gil Alexander, broadcasting live from our VSiN studios in Las Vegas.
Hey, there's the jingle. It's back. It's a numbers game right here at VSiN, where sports betting analytics live. Actionable sports betting information. Michael Lombardi on the show tomorrow, among other guests, Pete Vutek, Bill Krakenberger, Warren Sharp on Thursdays, Todd Wright as well. We do football right. Preston Johnson on Fridays, on and on and on. We'll get it going. Other sports as well, of course, basketball. And on down the line, but it's all about football this time of year. And, of course, a big, big win for the books yesterday in the National Football League. Super contest. Always interesting to look over the consensus picks in both Classic and Gold. Super contest Classic. These are the top five picks in Classic. On the left, Philadelphia. Atlanta. Seattle, yes. New England. Chargers, yes. 2 and 3. The top five. By the way, if you extend Super Contest Classic to the top seven, then it gets to 2-4-1 because Cincinnati and Jacksonville were after that. So tough week for Classic. Super Contest Gold, Philadelphia was in fact the top pick. 57 out of the 128 entries had Philadelphia. Atlanta. Jacksonville's a push. Cincinnati. Green Bay comes through 1-3-1 Super Contest Gold. Sound effects provided by the Vegas Stats and Information Network. Not good, and that's reflective of just how poorly every casual bettor did and how well you guys made out.
It was a bettor day than last week. But I will say this, in the afternoon, players rebounded a little bit to reload for tonight and get ready for next week. So it's never a sweep.
Never a sweep.
Never a sweep.
It's very kind of you. That was very benevolent.
And the bettors had actually, I think Saturday was probably the best college football day of the year for the betting public.
Yeah, I've said it before this morning. It's funny how you don't even have to be right in college with some of these favorites, right? Ohio State. The handicap for Ohio State was, my handicap for Ohio State was, Michigan State has to pitch a perfect game on defense because there's no way their offense is going to win this on their own, right?
Especially when they're juggling quarterbacks.
And Lewerke's hurt, right? And their running back is doing, just the margin of error for Michigan State is so slim. And finally, it did manifest. They kept getting pinned at the one. The punter was the MVP of the game, and Ohio State ends up covering. But, was that an impressive cover? No. It's not like Ohio State is scaring anybody with that offense right now. Michigan State's defense was great. But Ohio State ended up getting through. Texas A&M had no business covering. They ended up coming through.
Mm-hmm.
It works out in college. In the pros, man, come on.
By the way, Alabama first half again.
Yes, sir.
Undefeated.
Every single time.
We've been talking about that on the numbers game, by the way?
Since like the first month.
So they were bet. The dog got played in the game, but you know what the first half was on that game? 16.
Yeah.
How's that?
Not enough.
Yeah.
Alabama 10-0. One other thing I want to point out before we get into this Monday night game from Estadio Azteca. Aztec Stadium, Mexico City.
Mm-hmm.
Between the Chiefs and the Rams, which has been circled on everybody's schedule for the entire year. But I want to point out, my buddy Las Vegas Chris, professional bettor here in town, has been on my podcast many times, actually been here in studio with me on VSiN. Las Vegas Chris, professional bettor. Chris doesn't know I'm putting up his tweet here. But I thought it was a great tweet because Chris is my kind of bettor. He's honest. And I love that this show is honest. When we lose, we tell you we lose, and we tell you when we're idiots, and we tell you when we're lucky. We tell you, we're humble about our betting. Chris is in last man standing, National Football League, which, by the way, he's won last man standing before. I don't know if he won it in the NFL or college, though. So I don't know offhand, but he's won that contest, one of those versions of that contest before. But he's in the NFL, and he and his partner have one bullet left, in other words, one entry left in the NFL contest. And he acknowledges on Twitter, at Las Vegas Chris, he goes, miracle week for us. Considered five games that went 1-4, but picked the right one. Have to get lucky. And I love that tweet because that was last week when this happened. I love that tweet because anybody who says that they're just good and when they win these contests and it's always them, like our human brains are weak where when we do well in handicapping, by the way, the most successful bettor I know, my buddy, he does this too. Like there's a lot of confirmation bias. When you're right, you tend to think it's you. When you're wrong, you're always looking for a reason why you're wrong. Mm-hmm. And I love that Chris was so honest right there and saying, hey man, I just got but lucky that I picked the one game that we got right.
There is an element of luck to get fortune. I mean, that's the bottom line, Gil. Pros know that. There are going to be times, and there's going to be times when you say, you know what, I lost, but I had the best number. That's another concept that people don't understand.
Yeah.
I got beat, but I had the best number. Yeah, okay. You took the best price or you laid the best price or the best number. It happens sometime, but there is... don't think for one minute that luck does not play a part in this endeavor.
I got down to like 164, 156, whatever that week was in Last Man Standing NFL. I too had a week in there where I just happened to pick the one game that I got right that week. Let's do it right here, and then we'll review it at the end. Let's do it right here, Jorge. KC at the Rams. This is at Estadio Azteca in Mexico City. Monday night.
Yes.
Jorge, let's flash up the pictures again. This is the field in Mexico City. Vinny, I don't know if you've seen these pictures. Pro Football Talk put these out. That's the field.
That's what it looks like right now?
That's what it looks like right now. In fact,
would they have a tractor pull on that field?
They had concerts. They had a monster truck show in Mexico City.
Who was the Vinny concert?
I don't know. We're looking into that.
Jorge,
The concert was a compilation concert. It's a whole bunch of young pop stars. It was called Telehit.
Who? What is it?
It's one of those venues. They had multiple young pop artists.
Of course, this game wasn't on the schedule, I'm sure.
It's only
a possible Super Bowl preview.
Now, the concert happened 3 days before a soccer match, so the soccer team had to play on a field just like this as well, by the way.
Yeah.
Well,
it wasn't a James Taylor concert, let's put it that way. These kids are dancing all over this.
Look at that aerial. Look at that.
That's the aerial shot. This is from, again, Alfonso Borrell.
Looks like one of those thermal views from space.
In Spanish. Wow. Again, we redacted the comments here. But in Spanish, he said, loosely translated to, what kind of poo-poo is this?
Mm.
Look at that stadium.
Wow.
So the NFL concerned enough where they are sending people down today to check it out. And according to our buddy David here behind the glass, he said that both the Rams and the Chiefs have suggested Denver as an alternate site. They were denied that request. But that's my point. Like, what are you going to do? You're not moving it at this point.
You can't.
You can't.
Right? So...
Rams coming off the win over the Seahawks, which we've discussed, and the Chiefs coming off the win over the Cardinals, which we've discussed. Tyreek, 7-for-117, 2 touchdowns yesterday. Patrick Mahomes has the single-season Chiefs touchdown record already. 31st touchdown pass with 6 games yet to play in the season. And again, the Chiefs lost their first coin toss all season, for those who are coin toss fans out there.
Broke the record of the legendary Len Dawson.
Mahomes did, yes.
Yes.
People were going to think that Len Dawson flipped the coin all those many times in a row.
No, he was smoking cigarettes between offensive possessions.
Kansas City forced to start on offense for the first time yesterday. The Rams, Jared Goff, 28 of 39, 318, 2 touchdowns, no picks. He was forced from his home again, the wildfires during the week. Todd Gurley, 16 carries, 120 yards, a touchdown, 3 catches for 40. A franchise record 13th consecutive game for Gurley to get into the end zone. Brandon Cooks, 10 catches for 100. But Cooper Kupp,
yeah,
done for the year, went down untouched in the fourth quarter, holding his left knee. Sean McVay initially said, doesn't look good. Jorge confirming, it's the worst fear. MRI coming back with the is it the MCL or ACL? It's a knee.
ACL.
Rams were penalized 10 times for 102 yards yesterday. That, to me, more than anything, is what kept the Seahawks in this game. Really bad defensive penalties. Mm-hmm. Like, just stupid plays that extended drives. Dante Fowler, who ended up making up for it late with a strip sack of Russell Wilson, just a ridiculous one when they'd gotten the Seahawks off the field, got a personal foul penalty. The Rams, if you could just limit the penalties on defense, you'll be all right. Aaron Donald, 2.5 sacks yesterday for his career-high 12.5 already this season. All of that said, we're in Mexico City.
Mm-hmm.
Technically a Rams home game, but we're in Mexico City.
Neutral.
I want to say it's a pick 'em, but I guess they'll make the Rams. The Rams will not be 3-point favorites. I'll split the difference. I'll say it's the Rams 1.5, but honestly, isn't this a coin flip?
Rams 2.5. On the opener. 2.5.
I mean, the Chiefs' defense
is
not a... I know people want to bust on the Rams' defense. The Chiefs' defense is probably worse than the Rams' defense.
Yeah. That's a fair statement.
And that's why the Rams are a tick of a favorite.
That's more the reason than... I mean, both offenses obviously are prolific, right?
Right.
Two of the best offenses in the league.
But so. I'll get back to that stat I said about the Chiefs, though, Vinny. Their defense.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, if I could find it now... that when the opposing team gets in the red zone,
right,
they're money to score.
Mm-hmm.
And now you got to face the Rams? Come on.
I mean, it's, you know, the Chiefs are like, listen, we'll just outscore you. Because they know, you know, typically they can, right?
Mm-hmm.
But this is a different, the Chiefs, they lost the one game, right, in New England. This is a better offense overall, I think. Yeah. More dangerous.
By the way, that was the Saints defense. They got kept getting scored on in the red zone, not the Chiefs. But yes, we shall see. Rams by 2.5.
2.5.
Coming back, we'll review them all right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN.
Now, back to A Numbers Game with your host, Gil Alexander, broadcasting live from our VSiN studios in Las Vegas.
Gil Alexander back on A Numbers Game. Vinny Maliulo in for Chrissy Andrews here on this Guessing Lines. Let's review them, Vinny, shall we?
We'll go right from the top Thursday night.
Nothing there. Nothing on that first slate.
Packers, Seahawks, 2.5, right? Yeah. Next three, you got Bengals 3. Well, we'll see. You said 3. We'll have to wait and see about Joe Flacco.
F for Flacco, J for Jackson. So two alternate lines.
There you go.
Let's go to the next page here.
You got Atlanta. Okay, sorry.
Look at these. Pittsburgh Steelers at Jaguars. That's the game that was flexed out. That's a bit of a difference. That's a 1. Well, I said Pittsburgh minus 4.5. You said it was Pittsburgh minus 5.5. Okay. Mm-hmm. Colts off the 3. That's something. I guess. Colts minus 3. You have Colts minus 2.5 hosting the Titans. Next page. Look at that. New Orleans. I said minus 7 hosting the Eagles. You say it's minus 7.5. Mm-hmm. My goodness, how far the Eagles have sunk.
Especially after last night.
7.5. Wow. And then finally, the Monday night game at Mexico City, field permitting. I said the Rams minus 1.5 against the Chiefs. You say it's Rams minus 2.5.
There
it
is.
I can live with that.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, by the way, as you may know, listening, Vinny in for Chrissy, our good friend, our beloved Chrissy, as Brent says, one of his favorite guys in the desert, recently with some health issues, he's since been on our air saying that transfusions of donated blood saved his life. We'd like to join Chris in encouraging everyone who can to donate blood. If you're here in Vegas, please join us right here at the South Point's upcoming blood drive, November 19th, a week from today, from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. in the Brunswick Room. And for those outside the area, please visit www.redcross.org. Click the Give Blood tab to learn where to donate near you. We hope you'll join us in honoring our friend Chrissy and helping the more than 4.5 million Americans who donated blood each year and who need donated blood, I should say, each and every year. Please do join us for that. Vinny,
good cause for a good guy. Thanks, Gil.
Thank you. Thank you to Chrissy.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco-Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.